Get your Bibles out, turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to talk on something today. You're going to say, well, it's not for everybody. He's going to pray for me first, but I want to, you're going to pray for me first, then I'll say it. Okay.
Stretch your hands this way this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time and opportunity to worship in your house. And as we open the word of life, Lord God, we ask you to place it in our hearts and in our minds. Let us go forth and be the missionaries you called us to be. In Christ Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, amen, amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord today? All right, we're going to get all this stuff adjusted. We're going to be doing good. If it's too loud for you, thank God that you're getting your ears cleaned for free. We're getting waxed. Amen. Praise God, praise God. There you go. You know, I'm going to talk on a very relevant subject, and you're going to say, well, it's not for everybody. By the time I get through, I believe it'll hit everybody in this place. Amen. Genesis chapter 20, chapter 2. What am I missing, baby? Oh, here. There you go. Now, you're fine. I want to make sure that the projector lady's happy. Amen. Yeah, I was Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Don't stand yet. You ain't got to stand for right this moment. I was at a place where it was a 50th anniversary party for this couple. And while this couple's talking, one person gets up, they're talking about the couple, and one person gets up and says, I've lived around you all my life, and there's one thing I've noticed. You never argue. Never, ever have I heard you argue. And the husband stood up and said, I got an answer for that. He said, when we got married 50 years ago, we didn't have a car, we had a mule. And the mule was taking a car, pulling us away, you know, from the church, and said, me and my bride, it was her mule, we got in the cart, and as we got in the cart, getting ready to pull away the carriage, the mule just wouldn't go anywhere. She kept beating and hitting at it and couldn't get to go anywhere, and she hollered, move! It wouldn't move. She said, this is the most stubborn mule. She looked out at the mule's name was Sally. She said, Sally, that's one. Then she did it again, and Sally took her off. And then Sally went the wrong way. She said, Sally, come back over here. Come back over here. And Sally wouldn't come over. She said, all right, Sally, that's two. Finally, Sally just sat right in the middle of the road, wouldn't move. She said, okay, Sally, that's three. And she reached up under her gown and pulled out a gun and shot the mule. Her husband said, he looked over and said, isn't that kind of cruel and fierce to go after that mule like that? She said, that's one. He said, so we haven't had an argument in 50 years. If you haven't had an argument, then honestly, you're not living in the same house. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about a very, very timely subject. Now everybody stand. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Have I killed it? Oh, there it is. Today has been a good day to get everything I say. I would have left my head home if I had not been connected to my body. Left my power cord home, left the house and forgot my computer. Went back and got my computer and forgot the power cord. Bad day. Good day. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It's a good day. I got the bad things out over with. Good day. That's right. Genesis 24, 2 and 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and wife, and they were not ashamed. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, God, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And I ask you right now, Father, to touch this service, Lord. Let everything be said for your glory and your honor, Lord. And Father, let everybody, Lord, receive something very special today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name and we thank you for this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. All right, you can be seated. On the way down, just give somebody a high five and you'll say, God's good. Amen. Now, today I want to talk to you on marriage, tying the knot or tying a noose. Tying a knot or tying the noose. Amen. Now you're going to say, wait a minute. Some of us aren't married. This is not for us, so I ain't got started yet. Matter of fact, before we leave here today, everybody's going to say, you know, I was in there somewhere. All right, I want to encourage. This is an encouraging message. It's not a discouraging message. It's not a bad message. It's an awesome message. The last couple weeks have been pretty in there, and today, this one here is going to have some in there, but it's also going to be lighthearted because I got you. I want you to look and think about relationships. I want you to know something. Not, K-N-O-T, it is not a four-letter word. Not a four-letter word. That's a play on words. Okay? Not is marriage is not a four-letter word. Marriage can be a great thing. Amen? How many know that? It can be a great thing. As long as God is in the center, it'll be positive. It's positive companionship, positive completion, your weakness and their strength, back and forth. Y'all really make one. It does great. And then if God blesses with children, you got clan. And also, there's going to be calamity. Every marriage is going to have calamity. Amen? But if you've got God at the center, even the calamity can be positive. Amen? Amen. I thought somebody said they married Calamity Jane. Who said that? I'm playing. But watch this now. Not is a four-letter word when marriage brings you great pain because God is not in the center. Marriage can be a very painful thing if God is not in the center. It's you're now self's in the center. You got negative companionship, negative completion. You're not completing each other. The clan, the kids are going after. You know, how many know that how many's ever seen a dysfunctional family? How many, honestly, if you would know the truth, every family's got some dysfunction? There's not a family without dysfunction. Matter of fact, my family put the funk in dysfunction. I'm talking about my brothers and my sister and I. We took it to a whole different level. Amen. So now, calamity is unmanageable. Now, when God is not in the center, I got some oldies but goldies here from some of the classic one-liners. I just want to throw some out from time to time. Henny Youngman said, "My wife dresses to kill. She cooks the same way." Rodney Dangerfield said, "My wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we met." Milton Berle said, "A good wife forgives her husband when she's wrong." George Burns says, "I was married by a judge. I should have asked for the jury." And Cindy Gardner says, "What's the difference between a boyfriend and a husband? About 30 pounds. Amen. So not a four-letter word. Now, before we talk about marriage, let's talk about the state of marriage. Now, we've got a lot of going on in this nation right now. They're trying to redefine marriage. They're trying to redefine how we're thinking. They're trying to just take us and make us see the way they want us to see, and that's not the way it is. You know, in the eyes of God, marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. It is a covenant between man and woman, and God will bless that covenant. In the world's eyes and in the state's eyes, marriage is a contract, and a contract can be between two people. So that's why they are trying to keep God out of legislature. They're trying to keep God out of it because now they can say we can do anything we want to a marriage because it's only a contract between two people. But in God's eyes, your marriage is a covenant. I have a covenant between me and that lady right there. Amen. A beautiful lady sitting right there. Hey, it's between one man and one woman. Remember that. Covenant. All right? So now, let's see. So now, number two, before we talk about marriage, let's talk about being single. Now we're getting everybody. All right? You said, "Oh, we just talk about marriage. I'm not even should even be here today because he's just talking about marriage." No, we're going to talk about being single. So first we're going to get, have you ever felt like that? I'm single and I'm about to break. I'm single and my cord is about as stretched as it can be. I'm single and I'm frazzled. There you go. That may be your picture right there. I might have caught it when you weren't even looking. All right, so watch now. Watch. It's possible to tie a noose instead of a knot in a marriage. And it's possible to tie a noose around your neck when you're single and suffocate yourself. So I want you to listen carefully. This is going to be probably a lot of teaching in here too, but I want you to watch now. What's singleness? I'm glad you asked. What's singleness? Singleness is a state of any man or woman of marriageable age who is not married. If you're not married, you are. Y'all said it like you meant it. If you're not married, some of y'all are scared to say married, but single because your wife's sitting beside you. Single? Okay, so if you're not married, you're? All right, now, watch this now. It is in the translation of the Greek, the word is agamos, not agony, agamos. All right? And it's used four times in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 to encourage the unmarried to stay that way. Read it. God. As a matter of fact, one of the first things I do when I do marriage counseling, when they start this mess, well, I just love him. And he goes, I love her too. What do we need to do, preacher? I said, run! Unless God gets in it, you got a problem. All right? Now, singleness is not a bad thing. Matter of fact, here's some stuff I read. Here's Phyllis Diller. Phyllis Diller said, never go to bed mad, stay up and fight. Henny Youngman said, I never knew what real happiness was until I got married, and then it was too late. Then Henny Youngman, the great one-liner, I might remember Henny Youngman. Awesome. He said, the secret of a happy marriage remains a secret. Okay, I'm just trying to be funny here to throw in some, because some of this stuff is going to be kind of tight. Now, there's three categories of singleness. How many knew that? You say, well, I'm just single. Well, no, you're not just single. There's three categories of singleness. Okay? And each category has its own specific, unique areas of concern, and each area of singleness has its own challenges. First, there is single for all seasons. That's somebody who never marries. Have you ever met an adult who never married? They're taking care of their parents, or they've got a busy career, or they just never took time to, they just don't get along with other people anyway. You know, so whatever it is. It could be all kinds of reasons, but they never marry. When they die, they're just as single as they were the day they were born. All right? That's single for all seasons. All right. Number two, there is single for a season. That's adults who will marry sometime in the future. They're not married now, but they're going to marry in the future. And then there's number three. Single again. How many's ever heard that one? How many's ever looked in the mirror and said, well, bud, you single again. Well, sister, we're single again. Amen. Watch this. Single again. You can be widowed. You can be divorced. You can be separated and technically married, but you're separated from your mate because of military, because of prison, because of out-of-town employment, because of desertion, abuse, or unresolved conflicts. But it's three things: widowed, divorced, and separated, although still legally married. The Bible says in Genesis 31 and 49, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when we are away from each other. So now, although single people are unmarried for various reasons, that's one thing. But what's really important, what God is looking at, is when you're unmarried, God is looking at how, or when you're single again, how you respond is so important. God, you say, I mean, I'm not talking about a Catholic priest now, or a nun, but God says, even Paul said, it's okay if you remain single, because then you can devote yourself to the Lord. You can devote yourself to His work. He said, to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. Which also leads me to believe that Paul was married. I doubt he was a widow. I'm pretty sure he was divorced, because to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to be 30 years old and you had to be married. Paul was a leader in the Sanhedrin. He led above everybody else. And so it's believed that when Paul accepted Jesus Christ, that his wife said, nope, ain't going to have it. And so he wound up being single again. So Paul says, it's okay if you're single again for the right purpose. George, it's all right to stay unmarried. Then you can be like me and we can serve the Lord with focus. So So now here's the myths about singles. Everybody, there's myths, there's all kinds of myths. And I'm trying to touch some of the myths right now, and I hope that this will get down in your spirit and you'll be able to help somebody. You might even know somebody right now that's struggling with their singleness. And they're struggling and they're feeling like they're second class, they're feeling like God is not watching them, they feel like they're just no good and nobody would have them. You know, that they're thinking, God, why is it that I'm just having such a hard time with this? And here's what I'm going to show you. Watch this now. Myths about singleness. Look, number one, the myth of the never married. The myth is God's best is marriage. Single is second best. How many's ever heard that? How many's ever said that? That God's perfect will or God's best for you is marriage, but singleness is second best. According to the Scripture, marriage is best for those who God calls to be married, and singleness is best for those who God calls to be single. There are some people God calls to be single. So now, I'm not one of them. Praise God. praise God, He didn't call her to be single too. Amen. So remember this now. Don't let anybody tell you that the best is marriage and singleness has you like a second class Christian or a second class. You're just putting up with whatever you can because you're not married, because you're single, God can't use you. I'm going to give you a good old Hebrew word for God can't use you because you're single. I'm going to transliterate it. All right? In the Hebrew, I can't think exactly how you pronounce it, but in possible track, it's hogwash. Hogwash! God can use you in your singleness. God can use you if you're not married. God's watching and God's taking care. And God already knew if you were going to be married. God already knew if you weren't going to be married. God knew if you were going to be divorced. God knew if you were going to be widowed. God knew what was going to be in your life. He's already got you in the palm of His hand. He knows you. He's in your past, present, and future at the exact same time. God knows! And so never let the world tell you that you're second class because you're not married. Or you're second class because your marriage failed. So watch this. here's another myth. Singleness is referred to as the best state for having undivided devotion to the Lord. That's not the myth, that's the good thing. You can have undivided attention. Paul even said, are you married? Do not look for a wife. I'm saying for your own good. Somebody said, I had a guy one time ask me, I was going there, the guy stopped, my neighbor stopped me. And he said, what's going on? I don't know why he even asked me. He's out there with some guys. He says, what's going on? I said, I'm on the way to do marriage counseling. He said, where were you when I got married? No joke. And I said, well, I do marriage counseling too. And he said, yeah. I said, okay, that ain't going to work. All right. The myth of the separated. Myth. Living in limbo is terrible. Any decision is better than no decision. Living in limbo is terrible. Any decision is better than no decision. That's wrong. I've seen people with that kind of attitude get in some big trouble and cry for help. And I said, there's nothing I can do now. You're there, bro. You're there, sister. The truth is, God wants us to learn to be content in any state and be patiently waiting on His timing. I've learned to be content whatever circumstance I am in, Philippians 4 and 11. Matter of fact, until you can learn to be happy single, you will not be happy married. Until you can learn to live with yourself, you can never live with somebody else. I have more trouble with the guy that puts these shoes on every morning. I have more trouble with the guy that I brush his teeth every morning. They say, well, the preacher's putting on shoes and brushing somebody's teeth every morning. Yeah, mine! I have more trouble with me than anybody else I know. And if the truth be known, you got more trouble with you than you do with anybody else. Until we can learn to be content, praise God, then keep anybody away from me in whatever it is, partnership, because I will blow it. Amen? So now, myth of the divorced. All you need is another mate. Then you will find fulfillment again. Is it up there? Y'all see that? You know, the Beatles, all you need is love. Everybody now, all you need is love, love. Every one of them was married four times. All you need is love. Well, they were married two times apiece. How about that? All right. The myth is, if you're divorced, all you need is another mate, then you will find fulfillment again. The truth is, contentment and fulfillment are found in a relationship with the Lord, who is always with you, will not leave you, will not forsake you. He is always there. Be content with what you have, because God has said He will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lamb of God. You know, here's some more of those one-liners. At a cocktail party, a woman said to another woman, "Aren't you wearing your wedding ring on the wrong finger?" And she said, "Yeah, I married the wrong man." After a quarrel, a wife said to her husband, "You know, I was a fool when I married you." And the husband said, "Yes, dear, but I was in love and didn't notice." A man said his credit card was stolen, but he decided not to report it because the thief was spending less than his wife did. Women will never be equal to men until they can walk down the street with a bald head and a beer gut and think they still are beautiful. All righty then, it's getting going downhill fast. All right. The myth of the widow. We're trying to hit everybody here. The myth of the widowed. All right, or the widower. After your mate dies, you are left incomplete and unfulfilled. That's a myth. The truth is, you will grieve the loss of your spouse deeply, but as a Christian, you are given complete fullness in Christ. Whether you are married or single, you are complete in Christ. Colossians 2 and 10. Again, this is part of learning to be content with whatever state you were in. God knows what kind of state you're going to have to be in, and God has already prepared for it, and God will take care of you. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Y'all are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Guys, it's okay to say something. All the women are going laughing and going, "Yeah, right." And the guys are going. Okay. Myth of the state of singleness again. Here's some more myths. Since God uses the family to build character, you will never become mature if you remain unmarried. Have you ever heard that one? Here's the truth. The truth is, your marital state does not determine the degree of your maturity. My fact is, people have been married 50 years and they don't seem to be very mature, okay? Your marital state does not determine the degree of your maturity. When you become a believer, God takes the responsibility to bring you to maturity. He who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion. So now, I've talked about the single folk. You say, "Well, when y'all going to talk about the married folk? Come on now." Guess what? We up. God's order for marriage is right here. The Bible says a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Number one, here's the order of marriage. Number one, separation. A man leaves his father and mother. What it's talking about is, both the husband and wife leave the authority of their parents and become a separate family unit. Does not mean you don't still listen to them. Does not mean you don't still get around them. Does not mean you still don't have fellowship. Because some of the greatest times you can have is with your parents and vice versa. But now it's in a different way. All right? Now you're under the authority. The wife and husband are together as a team. And we're just on the outside helping the best we can. All right? Then bonding. And is united to his wife. By the act of your will, bonding is a mental commitment to have a faithful, permanent relationship with your spouse, regardless of your differences. Can I say that one more time? By act of your will, bonding is a mental commitment to have a faithful, permanent relationship with your spouse, regardless of the differences. All right, now I know some people have had that thrown in their face and been kicked in the teeth and all that. We're talking about people that are right now that are married. They're here. They're married. And I just want you to hear this. You say, "I knew all this." Well, guess what? We'll hear it again then. I can't pick on the singles if I can't pick on the married folk. Or not pick on, excuse me. Can't talk about the singles without talking about the married folk. Number four, oneness. And they become one flesh. Physical oneness is a consummation of sexual closeness. To achieve a lasting oneness, Both should bring pleasure to the other and enjoy one another. Oneness. Number four, intimacy. They felt no shame. Wow. Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, their intimacy is encouraged to be shared. Share your frustrations, your failures, your disappointments, your desires. It's okay. Now we should feel no shame. Now watch this. This is God's purpose for marriage. We got God's order for marriage. Now we're going to talk about God's purpose for marriage. Number one, God's purpose is for partnership. Partnership. God has given you and your mate to one another as partners for life. True companionship grows within the marriage relationship when there is an emotional, spiritual, and physical unity. Do two walk together unless they be agreed? Again, I heard about Father O'Grady. Father O'Grady was saying his goodbyes to his parishioners after his Sunday morning service, as he always does, when Mary Clancy came up to him in tears. "What's bothering you, dear?" said Father O'Grady. "Oh, Father, I've got terrible news," replied Mary. "My husband passed away last night." "Oh, Mary," said the good father, "that's terrible. Tell me, Mary, did he have any last requests?" She said, "Yes." He said, "his last request was, please, Mary, put down the gun." Why? Pleasure. God's purpose for marriage is partnership, is also pleasure. There's to be pleasure in this thing, all right? And the marriage relationship and your mate are God's special gifts to you. Amen. Your mate is your gift. My mate is my gift. God has called us to understand that there's pleasure in this thing. True enjoyment of your mate will grow, and especially with a servant's heart. If you've got a servant's heart, you and your mate will grow strong together. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Pleasure. Now, where are we at here? Okay. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. How many's ever heard that? There's a book that sold about 90 million books on men are from Mars, women are from Venus. Now, I can go through this thing and show all the needs of a man, the top five needs of a woman, but if you take it all together, I'm just going to bring it down to one word. One word for the man, one word for the woman. If you remember this, it will take you a long ways. The number one need of a man is respect. The number one need of a woman is security. There it goes. Respect and security. Have you ever noticed when people are fighting? Watch this. I don't know who starts with it, the man or the woman. Here's how the argument starts going downhill, and soon there's some kind of a separation of some type, whether it be temporary or whether it be a long time. Here's where it starts. The husband says, "Well, if you don't like the way I do it, you can just leave or I will leave." What are you doing? Taking away the security. And so then the woman says, "Well, if you're much of a man, you'd be taking care of this anyway. You must not be much of a man anyway." Respect. People come to my office all the time. Not all the time, but when people do come in, a lot of times in the marriage, they might be having a very strong conflict, but somewhere along the way we get talking and we find out that one person is trying to take away the security of the wife, and the wife's trying to take away respect of the husband. Usually, if they can learn to communicate and quit this tearing each other apart with security and respect issue, at least the conversation is less hostile. Respect, security. Respect, y'all say respect. Respect, security. Remember, if your wife is talking to you and all of a sudden you had this urge inside, you go, "Well, I'll just leave then," go. Because there goes security. A wife, if you want to just beat him on the head and say, "Well, if you're any kind of a man," respect, security. All right, so now here's God's purpose for marriage. We're going back. Number three, parenting. Parenting is not for cowards. Amen? Matter of fact, parenting, wow. I mean, it's a joy. It's the greatest joy in the world, and it's the greatest thrill in the world, and it can be the greatest nerve-wracking thing in the world. God's first command was for Adam and Eve, and here's where you got to talk about the marriage issue. The very first command was to be fruitful and multiply. A man and a man cannot be fruitful and multiply. A woman and a woman cannot be fruitful and multiply. It has to be a man and a woman in order to be fruitful and multiply. So now, God desires that the earth will be filled with godly offspring. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Now for perfecting. You know, a priest asked a little boy if he knew what matrimony meant. The little boy said, sure, it's a place between heaven and hell where a man pays for his sins. Oh, come on, y'all. It's okay. Guys, it's okay to laugh. They're not going to get you. Blame it on me. The pastor said it. Excuse me. Where a woman pays for her sin. All right. Where a man or a woman pays for their sin. How about that? Yeah. Guys, you got to be careful now. You got to know how to do that. You got to have... Daniel told me yesterday, I was wearing a similar outfit that I was wearing today. And of course, it was a different shirt. And I was going to a meeting. And Daniel said, you're looking sharp, Dad. You're looking real sharp. And I said, can I put my collar? What do you think I ought to put my collar? Lynn already told him to put the collar around the jacket, around on the outside. I said, I kind of feel like my granddaddy back in the 70s put the collar around. And she said, no, that looks good. And I said, no. So I pulled it back in. And I did like this, walked outside. And Daniel rode by. And I said, Daniel, what's the thing? You're looking good, Dad. I said, you think I ought to put my collar around? He said, nah. He said, if you were me or BJ, you could handle it. He said, we got swagger. And so I walked in, Linda said, put it on the outside, you'll have swagger too. And I said, I'm not sure what swagger is. Jim asked Tony if he'd gotten his wife anything for Valentine's Day, and Tony said, yeah, I did. I bought her a bag and a belt. Jim was shocked. Really? That's very kind of you. She will appreciate those. He said, yep. Hope she appreciates them too, and I hope the vacuum cleaner works a lot better now. Okay. And finally, perfecting. God has put us together to perfect each other. You know, iron sharpens iron. Well, sometimes when you get together and actually you can help each other. You can really be good for each other. God uses both your weaknesses and your strengths to sharpen and conform you and your partner to the image of Christ. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now I just want you to know, and y'all come on up here and get ready. I just want you to know this. It's very possible for a person to be happy married. And I'm happy. I am so happy. But it's also possible to be happy and be single. Amen? Before I was married, when I was single again, God showed me, until you can be happy single, you will never be happy married again. And so I learned to be happy single, and then I was happy when I was married. So here it is. God wants us happy, married or single. God has a purpose for each of us, whether our marriage and whether our singleness is a stage, whether our singleness is a lifestyle. God wants us to know that we can be happy. I want everybody to stand. I know this was not maybe a shouting service, and I know maybe it may have been a little out there, and you say, why in the world did you even talk about this thing? Well, you know why? I'm asking God to help me deal with issues, and I know wherever I go, wherever I'm at, in the hospital, even places that you wouldn't even think of, like the nursing home, when I'm dealing with people that are married and single or single again. Most of the time, people that are single again, there's a lot of questions. If you want a copy of these notes, I will gladly get you a copy of them so that maybe you can help somebody that you know that's having a problem with being a widow, a problem with being single again, maybe even a problem with being married. Got a problem. It's there. There's stuff. God didn't just leave us out when He wrote the book. He didn't leave marriage or singleness out when He wrote the book. He took an account that we're going to go through these things. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to do a little different today. If you're here, while nobody's looking, I want y'all to, actually, I would like for everybody just to respect the privacy of the person beside them. If you're here right now, and you would say, and this is bold, but if you would say, Pastor, I'm having trouble with my singleness. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call your name. You ain't got to come up here if you don't want to come. But if you would say, I'm having a problem with my singleness, would you just raise that hand and say, I need you to pray for me. I'm having problems with my singleness. Maybe you're here today. I'm not even going to acknowledge. I'm just going to go to the next. Today, if you can say, I'm having problems for reasons that I cannot control in my singleness or in my marriage, would you just slip up that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I pray that God pours out abundantly above and beyond into your lives. Fruitfulness and abundance. To know that you're not second class. To know that God has not forsaken you. That God knows who you are and what you've done and where you're at. It's not a surprise to God. And I pray, starting right now, you feel a peace come in that does something inside of you that you haven't felt in a long, long time. Also, if you're here today and you just have a need in your life, you need Jesus just to do something for you. You need Jesus to help you on your job. You need Jesus to help you in your own personal life. You need Jesus to just do something for you. Right now, the altars are open. Whether you raised your hand or not, if I've not even mentioned what you need, but you want to talk to God, I invite you right now to come to this altar. I invite you to come to this altar and talk to God. Whatever the need, you need salvation. You need to be shored up. You need God to just lift you up and strengthen you. Whatever the need is, I invite you right now to come. To come. To come. Let God be God. And let God do what God does best. And that is, He takes care of us. He takes care of us. He knows what we need. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Touch you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, touch our families too, Lord. Minister, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. God is awesome all the time. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God.